I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. The civil war in Libya. The United Nations, according to an AP report, has negotiated with the prime minister of Gaddafi's regime. His name is Baghdadi al-Mahmoudi. The negotiation is to provide the United Nations with aid operations in Benghazi, in Tripoli, and now in Misrata, the besieged city well to the west of Tripoli and 1,000 kilometers to the west of Benghazi. Misrata has been under constant attack for 2 months now. It is called the Stalingrad of Libya. The UN negotiation is about establishing a humanitarian corridor to Misrata. Ann Marlow of the Hudson Institute is reporting from Benghazi and is with all day long the Transitional National Council and its attendant civil society, an organization in Benghazi. The people of Benghazi come from everywhere, including Tripoli. They have very good information, and they follow the story very carefully. Misrata is well away from them, but the resistance in Misrata has become a centerpiece of the resistance to the Gaddafi mercenary army. And greetings to you in Benghazi. What can you say about how Misrata is regarded in Benghazi? Is this story watched closely by the people in Benghazi?
Yes, it is, for a number of reasons. One being that there's a lot of people from Misrata living in Benghazi, and hundreds of years ago in the Middle Ages, when Benghazi had become a sort of desolate and depopulated city, it was repopulated by groups from Misrata. So there's strong historical links between the two places. Now, I did see a demonstration here in Benghazi last night where there were shouted slogans of support for the people of Misrata, people saying how brave the people of Misrata were, we will not forget you, Misrata, etc. So it is a very live issue. About an hour and a half ago, I was in my hotel, the Uzu Hotel, where a lot of the press conferences are given, a lot of the new civil society organizations hang out because of the good internet. And Al Jazeera was showing footage from a very brave photographer who seemed to be in the thick of a skirmish in Misrata, probably got the footage out very recently, and it shows Libyan freedom fighters attacking Gaddafi fighters within a school and ultimately killing a lot of the Gaddafi troops, and the people who were watching were shouting their approval, clapping, shouting Allahu Akbar, etc. So it's a very emotional issue here.
And does the Transitional National Council, which is the centerpiece of governance in Benghazi, does it have communication with Misrata or with the resistance in Misrata? Do you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I believe they do through satellite phones. Right now, one of the two top men on the council, Mustafa Abdul Jalil, is actually in Europe on a diplomatic mission. I know this because a friend of mine who you've had on your show, Ahmed Jibril, is accompanying him. He went to Doha, Paris, and London, presumably to try to, settle this conflict by obtaining weapons for the rebel forces or diplomatic means. But he is gone. I believe that Dr. Mahmoud Jibril is here at the moment, but can't confirm that today. Definitely, the city is slowly returning to normal. There's a lot more police on the streets. Day by day, more businesses are opening. Literally each day, there's like a new restaurant or store that I notice isn't shuttered when I walk the same route.
Anne is in Benghazi, which is in Cyrenaica to the east of Libya. Misrata is across the huge gulf, but it is well to the west of where Anne is. On the road, the coastal road, it follows through Ajdabiya, then Brega, then Ras Lanuf, and then Sirte, with the hometown associated with the Gaddafi cadre, and then Misrata on the road to Libya, to Tripoli. So Misrata is on the coastal road. That's why it's such a critical aspect of this resistance that Tripoli's mercenary forces have not been able to overwhelm and take Misrata. Anne is in Benghazi. And so, Anne, we have news from the front line at Ajdabiya that the rebel forces are under attack by Gaddafi's mercenaries. Have you had any information about the front line at Ajdabiya?
Well, I actually just had dinner with a reporter for Bloomberg Business who was in Ajdabiya today and reported that it was calm. I mean, the word on Ajdabiya is that it's harder to find a civilian in Ajdabiya than it is to find an open restaurant in Benghazi, which is kind of hard. In other words, much of the civilian population has fled the city. Large amounts of it have been reduced to rubble. But he was there for oil reporting reasons and said that, you know, there was no fighting going on when he was there. That was this afternoon. Now, things can change in an instant in a you know, guerrilla conflict like this. So who knows? But I certainly haven't heard anything here about a major new front being opened.
We also have a report from the Transitional National Council that the oil facilities around Brega have been badly damaged by Gaddafi forces and that repairs are underway. Have you heard anything about exporting oil by the Transitional National Council?
Not from them, no. Again, my informant, who's an oil reporter, apparently published a piece today that I've not yet seen saying that the repairs to one of the major fields will probably take months. You know, I don't, again, can't assess that, not being a oil reporter. He's a Lebanese reporter named Magher Chamamli, which is just as difficult for me as it is for you, that name, but seems well-informed. So, you know, I would give what he says some credence.
Let's turn back to Benghazi and the morale in the city. It's now been more than 2 months since the resistance started in mid-February. You say that it's returning to life. Does that mean there's prosperity, or does that mean that it's still on short rations and that the concern is the threat from the south?
Well, let's okay. Short rations is not going to be a good way of looking at it. This is a rich country. There was never a food shortage here. There has been a shortage of currency because of people's salaries that are paid from Tripoli not reaching the banks here. So that's been an issue. But no one is in a starvation situation at all. And the only people who were facing scarcity were people who had to flee their homes in Ajdabiya because their homes were destroyed. And those people are being helped out by a whole variety of charitable organizations that have sprang up virtually overnight. And I think they've been helped out pretty effectively. You do not see any homeless people or you know, people living on the sidewalk or that sort of thing here. There are definitely lingering traumas from the war. I spoke today with a young woman, emergency room physician at Benghazi Medical Center, which has about 60 doctors. She said they treated thousands, plural, of wounded during a 3 or 4 day period beginning March 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd. You may recall that around March 19th, Gaddafi's forces, you know, assaulted Benghazi and actually killed about 90 of the Libyan freedom fighters, wounding hundreds more. She said that at that point in time, they were receiving sacks of body parts at the hospital. You know, they obviously went directly to the morgue. Muslim law is very strict about immediate burial and identification of corpses, so every effort was made to find out, you know, who was killed. She said she believed most of these individuals were killed by RPGs, and the Gaddafi's forces were firing RPGs at civilian cars because there were obviously children and women's bodies. Body parts, I guess, among these human remains. But the good news is that only five of the fighters are still in the intensive care unit. She said everyone else has been released. Some are still coming in for outpatient physical therapy, but largely, I guess kind of like 9/11, you were either killed or you were okay.
And what can you tell us about the schooling? Last time we talked about this, the children are not going to school, but they're being instructed at home. How do they spend their days, from your observation?
Well, that's a good question. The schools are still not open. I'm trying to find out what's happening with that. I was supposed to go to some sort of children's educational event that was scheduled for today but postponed to next week. It's definitely a concern of the people here and the, you know, civil society organizations. One of my informants, Iman Bugaygas, who is a PhD in orthodontics, who teaches at the medical school here and has a 10-year-old girl, told me her daughter was still at home, but she acted, and I said, well, that must be very inconvenient for you, you know, since you have a job and so on and so forth. She said, well, I think it's more important that the teachers become active in the different voluntary and civil society organizations that they're active in than that my daughter, you know, go to school every day. You know, it's a more important thing for our society at this stage in its development. That seems to be a widely, you know, shared feeling. She said that she's sort of giving her daughter, talking to her about the events, about their meaning, about why they're important, and all of that sort of thing. But I don't know what your average person is doing, and it might well be a big inconvenience for many families who have two breadwinners and not enough cash. By the way, I've got Mohammed standing here, and I believe he has some interesting stuff to say because he spent the day with his uncle, or a good part of the day with his uncle, walked around town and actually did some shopping, talked to people, which he can obviously do a lot more easily than I can.
Yes, please, hand the phone to him.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, John.
Mohammed, this is Prince Mohammed Hilal al-Sanusi. He is a member of a family that has been in a leadership position in Libya for several hundred years. He's returned to his native country with Anne Marlowe. Mohammed, quickly, you've been talking with your family today. What have you learned about Benghazi?
Well, I've been walking around today extensively. We went near the port side. There was fish shops that, restaurants that just opened today. People are going about. The shops are starting to open. An old souk is open where they sell Libyan clothes, gold. People are getting back about their business again.
And, Mohammed, in observing the business, there's a shortage of cash. Is that correct? Is that going to be addressed, to your information?
Apparently, yes. Slowly, they're going to be addressing that. Things are quietly returning back to normal.
Mohammed,
people are getting a little encouraged to open shops now.
Mohammed Hilal al-Sanusi, as Anne says, ironically, Mohammed has the Arabic, and so he speaks very freely with a Libyan tone with the people of Benghazi, and reopening stores is a sign of confidence. Also, they need cash, and perhaps now we see a flow of cash into Benghazi from other sources. Anne Marlowe of the Hudson Institute, Mohammed al-Sanusi in Benghazi. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show.